This episode is presented to you by Battlefield 6. Rip through the skies in an aerial dogfight. Demolish your environment for strategic advantage.
Harness complete control over every action and movement. Every aspect of Battlefield's core gameplay has been honed to feel more fluid, responsive, and immersive than ever before.
And with more maps, modes, and ways to rally your squad, Battlefield 6 is the ultimate all-out warfare experience. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, and PC.
Good evening, gentle listeners or watchers, and welcome to Distractable. This episode, Messianic Mark defies dehydration, then makes magical, masochistic moments. World's Dad Wade watches fishy puss cook, tongues a huge shaft, and summons fiery rings. Bonnie Bob bonds with his brave boy, glances a legendary gobble, enrolls in the Endless, sings ragtime, and shoots shotguns. From a good hook to salacious swine. Yes! It's time for... Nah, I'd lose. Now sit back and prepare to be distracted and enjoy the show.
Hello, and welcome back to Distractable, the show that definitely is not ending. I don't care what the rumors say. We're gonna be here for the rest of whenever we're here for, and nothing's gonna stop us. Right, guys?
One of those two things is true.
One of them. I won't tell you which one. I will. But later, at the end of the episode, you'll have to listen to find out. No skipping.
Oh, that's a hook.
Yeah, I'll put the reason, or which one was true, at some random point in this video. I'm Mark, also known as Markiplier, and I'm joined today by Bob and Wade, also known as Mice Skirm and Lord Minion 777.
That's us.
I don't know why I threatened everyone with a pin, but that's us.
I didn't feel very threatened. That was like high school basketball coach levels of threatening right there.
Well, I mean, I felt pretty threatened, so might as well write something down. We all know Wade's not going to get any more points than that.
Yeah, you got to really hunt for reasons to give Wade points. We all know how this works.
But how are you guys?
About the same, man. Doing pretty well. Life's good. Eating good. Well, then I went to new passion moment. I know nothing about cooking. I'm not a cook. I don't make a lot of food. I think I could do it, but I'm a perfectionist. That would drive me nuts. If I ever leave Cincinnati, I need to meet the owner of Soto and see if he will let me franchise it somewhere else, because I can't live without it. I've gotten to the point now where I can't live without it, so I will open my own Soto.
I don't think they do franchises of fine dining establishments.
They need to for this one, because I can't leave it. I can't quit it.
Here's the thing. I was in Cincinnati for an occasion. I won't say
details?
Yeah, I'm giving details right now. Huh? Amy and I, we went to Soto because I had heard so much from you, and Amy knew that Soto actually had a restaurant in LA at one point, and they couldn't make it in LA, so that one closed down, and then they moved to Cincinnati. Now, I don't know if that was COVID-related. It could have entirely been. The food that we had at Soto was some of the best Italian food I've ever had, and I've gone to fancy schmancy Italian places. That I don't usually like goat cheese, but that goat cheese on the bread and the toast, oh, it was amazing. Whatever the heck I had, the pappardelle with meat was unbelievable. Every bite was delicious. I can say for certain, Wade is not exaggerating about, well, okay, he might be overselling it just a little bit, but it is really good. It is very good. And I enjoyed my meal. And it was, you know, it of all the high-end places I've gone to, usually the high-end Italian places, and I haven't gone to many high-end places, but I've been lucky enough to go to a few. All the Italian places have not been to my liking because the portion sizes were way too small and it wasn't really good. I would have rather gone to Olive Garden. And I know sometimes I have very simple tastes, but Soto was very good. And the prices weren't as exorbitant as I thought they would be.
Nah, it's Cincinnati expensive, which is California cheap.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You know it.
And Michael Douglas approved. I do not speak for Michael Douglas.
Why did you pick Michael Douglas then?
That's always the name I go to. I don't know.
You could have picked anyone and you picked Michael Douglas?
His name lives rent-free in my head.
It's okay. Michael Douglas is a fine
pick.
He's
fine. I'm not saying you shouldn't pick, but like of all the celebrities that exist, that's just top of mind for you is crazy for me. He's not exactly showing up in a lot of stuff right now.
Him and Christopher Walken, go-to names in my mind.
Actually, I don't even recall you ever mentioning Michael Douglas in the past.
Oh, I do. Maybe not with you, but I do mention him.
Well, we've talked pretty much consistently weekly for the past
seven years
or so. I can't recall. Bob, do you remember him ever saying Michael Douglas?
I don't have a specific memory.
Viewers and listeners, go back and find any references I've made of Michael Douglas.
I feel like maybe once before he has maybe referenced Michael Douglas, but not like it doesn't stand out to me as much as he makes it seem like it should.
My references would not stand out. Michael Douglas would probably stand out. My references do not.
What was it, just that you like Soto? Was that your update?
Yeah, we went there the other night again. It was amazing. We actually had a different seat. I didn't know they had like a bar style seat, but there were like four stool seats at like the bar right across from where they make all the meat. And they gave us
wait, they make the meat? They pull the meat out of the meat hole? What do you mean?
Where they cut it up, cook it. I watched them prepare the meat.
He doesn't know what a kitchen's called, Mark.
Well, no, but like
this guy,
the kitchen is kind of like divided. They have the meat side and like the pasta side.
It's all kitchen, man.
All the pastas were being made at this other end.
Uh-huh.
And then there was a dude that every few minutes would yell hands. And it took me a long time to figure out what he was yelling hands for. I was like, does everyone put their hands? Like, what do you do with hands? Like, hands, move your hands so I can inspect. No, hands just meant someone who comes and gets the food to take it to the tables. Took me a long time to figure that one out.
That's weird. They don't yell service.
That was hands.
Gordon Ramsay never said hands.
I think they yelled hands at Soto.
Did they say anything at Ichiban when the food was ready?
No, it wasn't that fancy of a place. They put the food in the window. The waiters got the food out of the window. There was some communication, but generally no.
Yeah, I thought there was a show being filmed because I was like, oh, they're inspecting to see how they're on a timer. Hands? It's like, oh, did they pass? And then someone would just come and grab food and leave. And I was like, okay.
No, it's when the whole staff goes,
hands? Yes, chef. 2, 3, 4. It's a whole number in the kitchen.
But I watched them prepare and cook steak. Octopus, I'm pretty sure. There was like a sea bass, the different kind of like toasted breads and stuff they would toss on like the grill for a moment. I watched a lot of foods get prepared. And when you're hungry, it's not like their food takes forever to come out, because it doesn't. But when you're hungry and you're sitting there watching just steak get cooked and pasta go right past you, even for a few minutes, man, does that amp up the like,
I need my food now.
I was very, very hungry by the time my cappellacci came out.
You see, most people, when they go to a restaurant, they like seeing their food prepared. It's like face weighed away. He goes,
I was like, I don't even want this fish, but I want this fish right now. Give it to me.
Well, that's great. I'm glad. And Soto is
if I ever
good.
Leave Cincinnati, Mr. Soto, call me so we can franchise you. Forget the movie theater. We can own a Soto.
Have you ever had a food service job?
I'm going to kidnap their manager and make him my manager.
So this Soto is going to fail.
They'll just promote. They'll promote.
Wade doesn't care what kind of trail of devastation he leaves, as long as what he needs comes where he is. He does not care about anything else.
You're going to go far in this business, baby.
This is a cut pasta business. Cutthroat? No. This is a...
Cut goat cheese business?
Yes. There is a goat cheese bread.
It was very good.
I've also been to this restaurant.
That was more for other people, not for you. I knew you.
Mark
you
mentioned the goat cheese bread. That was a reference to Mark.
Yeah, that was actually one of the things I said.
He said that. He said, oh, the goat cheese on the toast. So, all right, well.
You'll lose a point.
I listen to you, Mark. I hear you.
I'm not afraid to say it. Bold point worthy, even, maybe one might say. Mm-hmm.
Bold to declare you should get a point. That's bold.
Well, I've already deducted one, and I don't want to be rude. He wasn't listening to me. And Bob, you got that point, so it went to you.
Oh, that's a 2-point sway. It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off.
And Bob hasn't even gotten to his small talk, so that's really changed things up.
All right, Bob, go ahead. Let's see you piss off, Mark.
Yeah, make me mad.
I saw a turkey.
Hey, turkeys.
That was so big that nobody believed that it was a turkey until they inspected it for themselves. Took James to a fall festival, like a farm, like, right? You know, it's a big Midwest thing. It's like, oh, it's fall. Let's do a corn maze and then go in the pumpkin patch and we'll have activities and stuff. And we went to this place. It was really fun. They had a bunch of cool play sets. The first moment we were there, I did have made a parenting mistake. They had this big thing that was just like a big hill
and you could run. It was sort of like a hill where you were supposed to clearly run from one side to the other, and there was like a path, but then the sides were very steep. You were not supposed to go up or down the sides. You were supposed to go over the path. And James started going up that, and I was like, oh, that'd be a good picture. Because I was like, I'm trying to take pictures. We're doing this fun thing with James. I want pictures of James. And so I was like, he won't be fucking crazy for 30 seconds. I can let him run up or down this hill really quick. So I let him go, and I'm like, I'm just going to go around and take a picture. And I like have my phone out about to take a picture. He's on the very top of the hill, and he looks down at me, and he just goes, and tries to like run down the steepest fucking he took like two steps and then just and piled at the bottom, and it's busy. This is right by the entrance, so there's a bunch of other people doing the hill, and people, and just at, in the middle of all that, James is just fucking eating so much. I put my phone away, going to go and pick him up, and he's like, I'm okay, let's do this stuff, like, because he doesn't want to like go home. He's like, he was fine, but it was so, I was like, he can do this, right?
Did you get any of it? Like a photo collage of,
yeah. God, I wish. I didn't even get all the way to like, I was like trying to get the camera open, and I was like, and then just, bluff. Anyway, it's very fun, but they had animals there. They had goats and sheep and dogs and chickens and stuff. And they had one turkey. And I swear to fucking God, this must have been like a 70-pound turkey. It was so big. From a distance, all you heard was someone being like,
that's a turkey? That can't be a turkey. Oh my God, that is a turkey. Hey, Jared, come look at the turkey.
And like every next person, it was like, that's, no, that must be something. And we went over there, and like, even I, having heard all dozens of people all being like, that can't be a turkey. And we walked over there, and James walked up and was like, oh, turkey. And I was like, wow, holy fuck, that's the biggest turkey I've ever seen. You know what? Well, all those people were totally justified in how amazed they were at this turkey.
You know the saying, if you have to ask, it's a chicken. If it's a turkey, you will know.
But like when we lived out in the Bay Area, there were lots of turkeys. Listen, I've seen lots of turkeys. I'm familiar with turkeys. Literally, when we were moving into our house out in the Bay Area, a group of turkeys just like wandered through our front yard. They were around. And this turkey was easily three times as big as any turkey I ever saw in California.
Did you know a group of turkeys is called a rafter?
I did not know that.
I did not either.
Did not know that.
Who coined that term?
Yeah, whoever named all the groups is really bad at their job.
A group of turkeys is either referred to as a rafter or a flock.
Well, I would go with flock. Yeah. I feel like flock is at the top of that list.
I would think so too, but rafter was the first thing.
Rafter.
A flock or a rafter, definitely not a gaggle.
I know what you're saying about the turkey, Mark, because generally it is true, but this turkey defied all turkey reason. And James thought it was real cool, and I did get a picture, and he didn't even fall down a huge hill or hurt himself while I was taking the turkey picture, so that was pretty fun.
Well, that's nice.
The biggest turkey on record was in 1989. His name was Tyson, and he was an 86-pound turkey.
No other company is named Tyson.
That's why they surf. That's why they're famous for chicken. A turkey started his own company and was like, kill those other birds. Not my people.
We sell chicken nuggets, not turkey meat.
Butterball thinks they're gonna get us, but I started Tyson to show them. Butterball's run by just a bunch of chickens.
Walk into the office, just a turkey with a big cigar sitting behind the desk.
But all the other employees are human. It's not all turkeys. It's just the one turkey in charge of a bunch of human employees. It's a funny.
I want to point at something in your story here. Back when you were talking about James falling and Mark asked if you got the video of the tumble, you said, I wish. That's what happened to me with Molly. In hindsight, I wish I'd gotten that photo.
Nah,
but in the moment, you're just
like, I knew that was going to come up. This was a specific instance where I was like, I would like a picture of my child because I never take pictures of him. People are always like, oh, shit, well, do you have any new pictures of James? He's growing up so fast. And I'm always like, ooh, I have a picture from like a year and a half ago. Is that cool? When he was like a baby who couldn't walk? Do you want to see that? Or I was literally like, I need pictures of him.
No, I get that. The photo you took was fine. It wasn't, but you did say you wish you'd gotten the video of him tumbling.
If it had just been a thing and he had just fallen, and I wasn't trying to take the picture, I wouldn't now be like, ah, I wish I'd got it on camera, though. I'd be like, I can't believe he didn't fucking break his arm. He fell down a whole hill. And it's kind of worked out. I gotta say, I've thought about it. If I had been up at the top of the hill with him and he just went, I'm not sure what I would have done, because I think my instinct might have been to be like, whoa, and but then I would have just fallen down the same hill because it's really steep.
And then if you were both okay, hoping that you would be, I would have in hindsight wished I'd gotten that on video.
I wouldn't hope that. I would never think that.
I typically am not the person to go to, but Yamcha pose on trash in hindsight was really funny. And baby tumbling when baby ends up okay, also kind of funny.
All right, laughing at babies.
It's more scary than funny. I've never lived with as much fear as I do now that any moment James is in imminent peril. I don't really give a shit if I get hurt that much. Like in cars. I've always liked cars, and when I was younger, I used to drive too fast, like probably more than I should have. Never once was I like, oh, I hope I don't die, which is stupid and like not as smart, but like I never had that fear. Now, every time we're in the car, I'm like, God, I hope nobody fucking hits us. James is so frail. He's tiny. It changes. It does change how I think about stuff.
I can't relate to the baby part, but the newfound fear of vehicles happened with the semi.
I still don't really give a shit about myself, except that I know if something bad happens to me, that means I won't be able to do what I am currently doing for James. Like, if I get hurt, I'll be out of commission, or if I die or something, I won't be around for him. I'm not really afraid of that for my own purposes, but that seems really unfair to James.
Oh,
you could have just let it happen.
No, I caught that one. What was unfair to James?
If I die, that would be really unfair to James.
All right, you can't die if you win this, but if you lose it, you die right now.
If I win this coin flip, do I gain invincibility?
You do, yes. By the powers invested in the constitution of Distractible, you will become immortal. And then opposite that, you will die way sooner. I don't think I can kill you right here, but...
Which one am I rooting for? Heads?
Heads means you will be immortal.
Guys, if you could get heads on this, of all the coin flips I've ever lost,
I'll do my best.
All right, heads, man, on this one.
All right, here we go.
It's heads! I did it.
No way.
Oh, is that heads?
Yeah, the lady's heads. The lady's heads.
He's immortal, everybody!
I'm immortal.
Congratulations, dude.
I got to write that down. Do you feel it?
I do feel better. My back doesn't hurt anymore.
You were so right. That would be unfair to James, that now you're so right.
That would be so unfair, and so I'm immortal now.
Okay, then
I feel like I needed to... I wish I had a better coin. Yeah, lion is tails on mine, and I got lady. Lady is heads.
I'm just glad we had your back. We're such good friends, Mark.
Yeah, I tried really hard, and it worked.
If I actually did gain immortality from that, that makes up for all the other coin flips I've ever lost. I'm not even mad about it.
Until the world explodes and you're left alone as the last living person.
Karmically in the universe, that makes total sense.
It does. It does. Okay, well, congratulations. I'm obviously giving you an immortality point for that.
Yeah.
Because if there ever was a moment. But don't worry, Wade, I gave you a point for laughing at my joke.
Thank you. Thank you.
It was one single chuckle, but I counted it.
I know how that feels. But yeah, no, Bob, I can relate to... I can't relate to the parenting part, but I love me. And the world would be at a loss without my humor if I were to die. So, like, I feel like I owe it to the world to treat myself safe. Because I'm raising all of them.
Mm-hmm. You're like the world's daddy.
Yeah. Well, dad. I don't think I'm daddy.
Wade considers himself a big daddy.
Small talk for me, I guess. I've been... Okay, you know how I always am like, I got a big sweeping realization about my life, how I've been doing things wrong?
Yeah,
sure. Every time we talk?
Have I talked about how I have an egregiously high salt intake and I licked the lamp, right? So I like salt. Talked about before. I think I've been chronically dehydrated all of my life and never have taken in enough water because I was doing some research.
That seems possible.
That's a funny joke, man. I'm laughing again.
That same joke. All right. You know what? Oh, man. Yeah, you get another point. All right. Yeah, give me two. I mean, times two.
Oh, hell yeah. That makes up for my lost point.
So, I mean, my salt intake is egregious, and my blood pressure has been fine, so it's not really like I'm doing this for that reason or anything, but it's more just I realized how little water I actually drank. I drink water, a cup of water in the morning when I take my medication. That's the only cup of water I was drinking. I had a cup of coffee, you know, and jury's out on whether that actually hydrates you or not. I have like carbonated diet sodas. I have carbonated waters, but mostly I was getting like maybe 3 or 4 cups total liquid every day. Right? And that's not usually what they recommend. Now the recommendation from doctors, you know, there's the people that are like, drink as much water as possible. Now the recommendation, like 35 to 40 milliliters per kilogram of body weight, which for me is about 3 to 3.5 liters, what I would need in terms of liquid.
Hold on, 30 to 35 milliliters per kilogram?
35 to 40. So anywhere in that range is, I think, the scientifically recommended amount of water that you should be getting, or liquid you should be getting in your day. That includes like watery foods, soups, you know, I think they even include coffee in that. But 3 liters is a big jump from what I was doing, right? And it makes sense that I was able to do this because my salt intake was so high. Therefore, my cells have a lot of salt in them, and therefore it holds on to water. It's hard for the water to leave. It flows towards the higher salinity gradient. You've seen the thing with the soy sauce packet in the water. Water goes into the soy sauce through the permeable membrane. Anyway, so I started drinking 4 of these. These are 40 ounce with ice. It's about like 30-ish something ounces. I've never peed so much in my goddamn life. It never stops. I'm like, I put one of these, I am peeing more than I'm taking in, which apparently makes sense because the salt is slowly going out of my cells and like, I don't feel any better yet.
Oh, I was gonna say, you probably feel a lot better, right?
No, I don't. I don't feel any better. I feel no different other than I'm peeing all the time. I have gone to the bathroom so much more than in my entire life. Every hour I have to go to the bathroom. But they say it takes like 3 to 4 weeks for you to start to become adjusted to it. The thing is also, I was never thirsty. I very rarely am I like, oh, I'm thirsty. I'll drink water. So I've been, this is my second one of these today, so.
I'm apparently supposed to drink 9 500-milliliter bottles a day, according to your...
How much?
9 of these bottles a day.
You need 4.5 liters?
Apparently.
What was the recommended amount?
It's like 35 to 40 milliliters per kilogram.
So I'm about 100 and... we'll call it 115 kilograms times 40, right?
That's the upper end, yeah. Damn.
And you divide that by... Wait. This is a 500-milliliter bottle.
You're a big guy, yeah. It's like... It's supposed to be more if you're exercising. So I used to think that people were crazy, like, you need 2 gallons a day. And that might be crazy, but, like, that's basically that's more than a gallon you need. I need right about a gallon, apparently.
Yeah, 250 pounds is about 9 bottles of water a day.
Yeah, so I'm waiting for all the amazing health benefits and mental clarity to kick in, but all my mental thoughts are only occupied with, I have to pee. That's all I've got so far, so I'll report back next week when my equilibrium equilibrializes.
Wait, I have other small talk. This is actually, it's because you were talking about health stuff. This is an update. So this is way the hell a long time ago now, but we did an episode where I talked about how stressful and sort of traumatizing the James's birth was, and especially around Mandy's health and issues that she faced before, during, and after actually giving birth. James is almost 3. James will be 3 in December. Mandy just this past week got an iron infusion, and it turns out she's been having all of these postpartum issues, including like panic attacks and other like really serious issues that were potentially all, if not many of them, were caused by like critically low iron, like literally just 0 iron in her body. She thought that just having the baby just like changed her hormonal chemistry or changed her body, or she was feeling more anxious because having a kid does make you feel kind of anxious in different ways and stuff. Like, it's potentially literally all related to low iron. And she asked me to bring this up just to say to all of the women that are listening, and especially if you currently are or have been recently, or if you just think that any of the stuff that Mandy dealt with sounds familiar to you, get your fucking iron checked. It took her multiple doctors to find one who would even do the tests that she was like, I think I have low iron. Like, I have all these symptoms that are happening. And the doctors would just be like, nah, you're just, is it your time of the month? Well, calm down, woman. And like, not maybe Jesus. That explicit, but none of them gave a shit. And then she finally convinced her current doctor, who still didn't give a shit, to do the test. And the test came back and it was like, you have zero iron and zero ferritin in your body. And the doctor was kind of like, oh, okay, I'll refer you to like a hematologist or whatever. That's fine. So any women out there, if you feel like you have, if you look into any of the symptoms and accompanying side of accompanying things that come with low iron, and you feel like maybe you have low iron, get a test and tell your doctor that, to not be a dismissive asshole, that you would like a test to see if your iron and specifically your ferritin are low, because they can have all kinds of crazy side effects, including Mandy literally never had panic attacks before in her life and had panic attacks because of low iron, like crazy low iron, like zero out of whatever. It's supposed to be like 100 and it was a zero on the test result. I mean, it could apply to guys too, but this is for reasons I think anyone who understands how women's anatomy works even slightly, that might be obvious. This is a thing that applies generally more to women, especially women who are pregnant, have been pregnant, giving birth. Also, you lose a lot of blood, but it's just interesting fact. Mandy wanted everyone to know, get that checked, because apparently not having iron can cause all kinds of side effects and can make you think that you have all kinds of other diseases that you don't have. But if you just get an iron infusion, which she did, she immediately started to feel better. After the first day, she felt kind of sick from the infusion, but interesting tidbit. Check that out.
Good to know. Point to Mandy. I also wrote for the point, iron within, iron without, which is a 40K joke.
Iron infusion, best way to get iron, or is there a way you can increase your iron?
Well, so there are supplements, but iron supplements are really hard on your stomach. And Mandy has always had trouble with nausea from, like, she's very sensitive to oral medication in general. And so she tried to take the iron supplements orally and, like, was so sick that she didn't eat for a couple weeks and was, like, almost bedridden for part of it. So that wasn't really an option. The only other way I know of to get iron is through food, which she does do. But, like, the iron supplement is... it's like 50 milligrams of iron or something, or 100 or something. The most high iron food you can get is multigrain Cheerios, have like 18 milligrams of iron in them. But all the other food that people are like, oh, it has a lot of iron, they have like 3 milligrams of iron. You have to eat an actual 5-gallon bucket of spinach to get a meaningful amount of iron from eating spinach or whatever, all this. So if you have like Mandy... like seriously low iron, like dangerously low, causing these side effects, an iron infusion might be the way that they go if the other options don't work for you. And eating, getting it from food was just not substantial enough for her to recover from being completely bottomed out on her levels. But yeah.
Well, good to know. Good to know.
This episode is brought to you by Uber. You know that feeling when someone shows up for you when you need it most? Yeah. We all need that sometimes. And Uber knows that. Uber isn't just a ride or a meal delivered. It's showing up no matter what.
I think that might be them knocking on the door, and because they're, you know, Uber's really good about getting them right to where you are.
To them or the FBI, I'm not 100% sure.
Yep.
When it really matters, whatever it is, you show up. Where there's a will, we're on our way. Uber, on our way. Download the app today.
All right. That was a long small talk, but I liked all of it, so you guys got a lot of points out of that.
Water and iron.
Hmm? Water and iron.
It's the weirdest World of Warcraft fact.
Rock and stone.
All right, we're going to move on from that. This...
Segway point?
No. All right, I'm going to set the scene. I did a little creative writing here, and I want you guys to really feel in the moment of what we're about to do here. Okay? Just imagine. You're in a dark hallway. You give your wife one last hug. She tells you she made the bet, just like you asked, but she's choking on the words. She's crying. You nod solemnly, knowingly, and you say goodbye for the last time. You leave. It's hard to do so, but you leave. You turn around. You step onto that platform. You hop right up there, and then the lights go out, plunged into darkness. You're sent shroom up rising, the platform rising, rising. Suddenly, bah, blinding lights all around you. The crowds, they're cheering on for the bloodbath that is about to occur. You look around when your eyes adjust to it. Blink, lick your eyeball, surrounded by water. You're on a big platform in the center. There's pillars on the outskirts. You're a frog. And your opponent, on the other side, a fly. Your wife made a bet against you losing this match. And if so, your family will be set for life. Welcome to Nah, I'd Lose. This is actually, someone on the server has said this. They mentioned it casually, I think. So I was like, that would be funny. So it's exactly like Nah, I'd Win, except you're trying to die. You will repeat the same actions because you will just have an onslaught of flies that are coming after you. If you miraculously don't die from the first fly, which you will have to get your d20s out because you're going to be making rolls. It's the exact same setup. It's going to be like a 20 at first. You will make up your actions to lose this fight. You'll do whatever it takes to lose it. You gotta lose, and it's gotta be in the match, because otherwise they're gonna know something's up, so you gotta make it organic, and your death has to be believable.
Okay, are we wanting to roll 20s or 1s?
You're trying to roll a 20. Oh, wait, yeah, let's invert it. So you gotta roll a 1 to lose this fight. That's good, right? It starts at 1, and then every action that is believably bad to get you to that death that you oh so crave, you'll get another plus one on your roll. Minus one on your roll, actually. We'll do it that way. All right. Heads, Bob goes first. Tails, Wade. Boink! Heads again for Bob. It's his lucky day.
All right.
Four heads for Bob.
Bad game to be immortal, huh? All right. Bob, what's your first attempt?
I don't take in any information. I don't survey what's around me in any way. I lock on immediately to the fly, and with every ounce of strength that I have, I leap at the fly with my mouth open to try and literally just like, ow, like go and reckless abandon, full kill mode, just like a missile straight at the fly. Hell, who gives a shit where I land? We'll see what happens. Okay.
All right, let it roll.
I rolled a 20.
That would have been a hilarious and I'd win. That would have been really funny. It worked. You got him. He was so scared. That fly didn't even fucking move. It was just eaten. Luckily, there's going to be another fly that pops up because they knew it would be an unfair fight. So there's actually a whole plethora of flies just waiting to enter the arena. Wade, it's your turn, and you will repeat the actions that the previous did.
All right, elevator comes up. I don't look around. I see the fly. I lunge, jumping straight for it. I land. Quickly take a look around at these pillars. I wait for a fly to just pass a pillar, shoot my tongue out, wrap it around the pillar, and yank myself in as hard as I can to concuss myself against the pillar.
Intentionally?
Intentionally trying to knock myself out.
You gotta make this believable. You gotta make me believe you're trying to fight.
The fly had just flown past.
Okay, alright. You're pretending you're aiming for the fly. Okay.
Maybe I'm trying to yank the pillar onto the fly.
Okay, I gotcha. Okay, roll. I'll give you a plus one for that.
Minus one.
Eight.
All right, seven. You pull real hard, you yank the pillar, it comes crumbling down, you're so strong, crushes the fly. You actually do a cool flip and land on one foot. The crowd is loving this. They are going, frog,
Bob, we're
frog,
selling it. We're selling frog. It, Bob.
Yeah, I've never sold so hard in my life. All right. The elevator comes up. I lock onto the fly, launch myself like a missile. One fly down, I land, I wheel around, I see a fly just flying towards one of the pillars, and I pretend like I'm trying to get the fly, but I wrap my tongue around the pillar and pull it towards myself, and it falls over, and I flip really cool through the air, and for some reason I land on one leg all crazy. The crowd is going fucking wild, and I have the stadium guy ready to go, and he plays my victory song. And it's that song from that Disney movie where it goes, "Hello, my darling. Hello, my sweetheart. Hello, my ragtime gal." And I do that dance that the frog does where it's like the frog can-can. And I'm showboating and paying no attention to the next fly who's definitely going to get me.
I gotcha. That's great. Minus one for not paying attention to your surroundings. Go for it.
Hello, baby. Hello, baby.
I rolled a 14. God dang. Okay, well.
All right, 12. Well, hello, my baby. Hello, my pew. You fucking kick that fly into the stratosphere. You killed on an emote. The crowd is fucking losing their mind. This is the greatest death match they've seen in years.
We might be the best frog ever.
This is unbelievable. Your wife is very nervous right now, and all the debt you owe to all the gangster frogs are just like, they're starting to get real mad. So you're alive, and I'm guessing your song is done, or unless it's still going. Wade, you'll decide if it's still going. I don't know.
All right, elevator comes up. I pop out. Don't look anywhere. Lock onto the fly. Mouth wide open. Jump for it. Land. Look over. See the pillar. Wrap my tongue around that baby. Yank it down. Smash. Jump up. Land on one foot. All cool like. Crowd's going fucking wild. I grab my top hat cane. Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. Hello, my ragtime gal. Kicking my legs like a fucking madman. And then I jump up in the air. Mouth agape, looking for a big swarm of flies that I'm gonna try to just barely miss and land mouth open on the ground, hoping to split my face in half.
Holy shit.
Oh my god.
All right, we're up to minus three now.
There's the one. Five.
All right. Yeah, so you actually caught the other fly platform that had just raised because they were trying to even the odds. You were just destroyed the first two. So they sent a whole like school bus worth, not school bus, but you know, like a group.
School bus of flies. A rafter of flies?
A rafter of flies came up here. They all have their little fly life vests. They're like, oh, okay, all right, we're going to show. Just right in there. You do land on the ground. It kind of hurts a little bit, but you know, it didn't do any permanent damage.
A group of flies is either a swarm, a cloud, or a business.
There was a business of flies.
There was a business of flies.
So, Bob, your turn is starting. You are mouth like fully splayed out on the ground. Perfectly T-shaped mouth stand.
The elevator comes up. I launch myself like a missile, mouth open, and eat the first fly, land. Wheel around, see the fly going by the pillar, wrap my tongue around the pillar, pull it over, fling myself into the air, do a cool flip, land on one leg. Hello, my baby. Hello, my darling. Hello, my ragtime gal. Do the whole emote while I'm emoting. Pew, kick a guy, fly way the hell out of into space. After that, for some reason, I decide I'm going to nosedive at the earth as violently as possible and while consuming the entire business of flies that just came up out of the elevator. I land mouth open like a spring trap, ready to snap shut on my next victims. And I decide there's been a lot of action. There's been a lot of showboating. It's time to draw everyone in. I'm going to chill it out. And I'm gonna play the Venus flytrap move. I'm gonna stay there with my mouth on the thing, and I'm gonna make the flies think like, oh, he's hurt. Oh, this is our chance. And I'm gonna try and lure them in. And then when they get close, I'm gonna just try and like snap them.
Okay, all right. Is that trying to lose?
Yeah, well, I'm giving them an opening, right?
Oh, okay, you're giving them an opening.
I'm gonna act like I'm gonna get them, but I'm letting them get a whole business of flies, get an opening in, and then I'm going to try and fight back, but it's going to be pretty half-hearted, right?
Okay, gotcha. Okay, got it. Okay.
And the whole crowd is going to be like, oh, and you control, and then you suck the air out of the room.
Yeah, all right. Okay, all right. I'll give it to you.
Minus four, then?
Minus five. You're at minus
now
five.
Now the five would work.
Oh, come minus on. Four. Come on. Roll 12.
Your tactic, you were so scary. The first literally 10 seconds of this match was just utter annihilation. No fly is going towards you. They are so scared, but there is now a ring of flies that have entered the arena, but they are just around you like, he's not moving. What do we do? Mm-hmm. So they're preparing. They're there. and they're ready for something, but they are too scared to attack you. Wade.
Elevator goes up. I launch myself at the nearest fly, mouth agape, land, look for the nearest pillar, tongue out, pull it down. Fucking fling myself up, land on one leg, looking all badass. Grab my top hat cane. Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. Hello, my ragtime girl. Jump up like a fucking missile. Mouth agape. Go straight down to land. Bonk. Mouth open. I wait for the flies to come and swarm in. Whenever they get close, Venus fly trap them, which I do successfully. And then I jump up, rip off the arm sleeves of my tuxedo, and I say, let's amp this baby up! And I pull the chains of doom that unleash the rings of fire in the alligators.
Fuck.
And then I start fucking bouncing on the alligators' mouths and through the rings of fire, thinking, one of these fuckers is gonna kill me as I go for the flies.
Holy shit. All right, so the river's on fire.
He amped it up.
The river's on fire. There are alligators released. You have torn your sleeves off.
I'm wearing my tuxedo jacket for the hello my baby bit, right?
Right,
Yeah.
All right, so now it's a six or... It's a minus five, right? So a six?
It's minus six right now.
15.
All right. No. Man, greatest show the audience has ever seen in their fucking life. Gasoline spills onto the river, lights on fire. You've got your oiled up gators with an oil that's flammable resistant. You're bouncing on all of them, doing, doing, like Donkey Kong in the alligator levels. Boing, 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 boing. And meanwhile, the flies are so mesmerized, they are sitting ducks for you. They get caught up in the flames, alligators snapping flies left and right. And meanwhile, you are just bouncing around, you land in the middle of all the fire. It's Superman landing. So, there's not many flies left. Bob, can you lose?
The elevator comes up. I launch myself like a missile, mouth open, get the first fly, cool landing, turn around, fly and go by the pillar, wrap my tongue around the pillar, pull it down. While I pull it down, I fling myself into the air, do a cool flip, land on one leg. Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. Good ragtime, whatever. I don't know the words to that song. Why did I pick that? After I do my showboating and I kick the one fly into space, I launch myself straight up and come straight back down, mouth open, boom, land like a bear trap, but face the wrong way. And then I wait, and the flies line up around me, and then they don't do anything. And then I tear the sleeves off of my tuxedo. And then I pull the chains of doom, which unleashes the river of fire and all of the alligators. And then I'm like a little ninja, just like, wah, boom, through the mouths of the alligators. We're running low on flies. I know I'm going to have to do something really crazy. And I decide what I'm going to do is I want to cook my last few flies like a kebab. And what I need to do is land in the mouth of one of the alligators and rip off one of their longest teeth and then get the flies on the tooth and then roast them over the river of fire before I eat them, just to make it a whole show for the people.
Holy shit.
So I'm trying to get the tooth. That's my move. I land in a mouth of an alligator and I'm like, trying to like rip a tooth out.
All right. Yeah, that is going to be very dangerous. You're at a negative seven. Is this going to be the one?
I couldn't roll another 20.
Couldn't possibly.
That one!
Hey! All
right, as you are split-legged Van Damme style in between the alligator's mouth, pulling on its tooth, you look up one last time at your wife, knowing that she placed a bet for you to lose via consumption in the eighth round to a hazard, which was like the best bet you could possibly, highest odds ever. It was like, there's no way it would happen.
It's like a plus 3,000 odds on that bet.
You look at her, she blows you a kiss, and you don't blow one back because I'll blow your cover. Your legs snap in half and you get snapped and you get eaten. Boom, done. And then the alligator gets consumed in the fire, so there's no evidence of your body. Congratulations, Bob, you lost! You're dead! Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo!
I did it. I knew I just want to say, I'm glad to take that round. I had, from almost the very beginning, I had thought up that the frog mobsters that I owed money to were somehow going to be worked into the story, and they were going to tell me that I'll live to rebit this, because, like, live to regret it, live to rebit it. I couldn't find a way to get that in there, but, like, it's just going away, so I just wanted to get that out of my head, or I would have been holding on to that for the rest of the episode.
I'm glad you were able to clear your conscience of that. Okay, all right, man. I only have time for like one more.
Well, that took a while.
All right, I got this. You're sitting at your kitchen table, looking at the piles and piles of bills around you. You have no idea how you were gonna take care of this. But you finally came up with a plan. You're not gonna let those goddamn loan sharks take your land, your home that's been in your family for years and years and years, nor your farm. You write your letter to your insurance agents saying, "Dear Penthouse Insurance, I can't believe what's going to happen to me. In case I die, I'm buying a lot of life insurance." You send the letter, you grab your shotgun, hop in your thresher, you drive that bad boy down to the barn, hop out, lock eyes with that damn pig, with that rolled up blanket that he can't be without, and you're gonna make it look like a horrible industrial accident, or mauled by the pig, or whatever have you. There's not gonna be multiple pigs, so you gotta like figure out how to die in a perfectly believable way. For the insurance to do something about it.
Who goes first?
Switch. Go first.
All right. I get off my tractor.
Thresher.
I grab my audio. I get off my thresher, grab my audio recorder, and hit record. "Dear Abby, I can't believe this is about to happen to me." And I go and I set some bear traps for the pig. I'm going to lure this pig onto the bear trap. "Oh no, I left my shotgun on the other side. That's okay, I'll just cross over and get it. I'm agile." And I run across the bear traps.
Insurance company's gonna believe this one. All right, roll.
Incoming nat one. 17.
All right, you step over the bear trap. That's it. Doesn't go off. Bob?
My turn?
You still have the audio recorder, I'm guessing.
Yeah, okay. I step down from the thresher. I get out my audio recorder for some reason and say, "Dear Abby, I can't believe what's about to happen." And then just ignore that for the rest of eternity. And then I go into the barn, lean my shotgun up against one wall, set out some bear traps for the pig, and then realize, oh, I'm on the other side of the bear traps for my shotgun. And very safely walk around the bear traps and go get my shotgun. And then I'm like, ah, I know what will cause... I don't know how I'll get the pig to step into the bear traps. I'll shoot my gun into the air, and I take my shotgun inside the barn, and I, without looking at anything or thinking, I just go boom, boom, and knock my headphones off so I can't hear anything. I just fire it around and see what happens. Okay. Hopefully there are no lanterns full of flammable oil or anything.
So your objective is to spook the pig into causing your demise. I see.
I'm going to scare the pig into the bear traps.
All right, minus one.
That's an 11.
All right, so you go boom, boosh. Pig goes, huh, huh, resumes making sweet love to its blanket. It really loves that blanket. Betsy.
Well, how could you forget such a classic?
All right, so there's two holes in the roof, and you're, I'm guessing it's a double barrel kind of shotgun situation. So
yeah,
you need
that's what I was thinking. It's like a break action shotgun. So yeah, you'll. Both shells are spent currently.
You'll need to reload if you want to shoot it again.
I dismount the thresher, I grab my tape recorder, which I will definitely be utilizing as evidence throughout this entire thing, and say, "Dear Abby, I can't believe what's about to happen to me. I'm gonna get rich." I place my bear traps. That was in my head.
That's rewriting history.
No, you said it into the recording to get rid of.
Oh, now I said the recording. I go and I place my shotgun down, place a bunch of bear traps, and I say, "Oh, I forgot my shotgun. That's okay. I'm agile." I run around the bear traps very safely, get my shotgun. I think to myself, "I can scare." I say to myself out loud, "I can scare this pig into the bear traps." Boom, boom! Fire my shotgun twice into the air. Made two holes in my roof, but didn't scare the pig around. I know. I'll get Betsy. That'll lure the pig. So I grab Betsy. Oh, I've also got to carry my shotgun and reload it. I better put Betsy on my back. Whoops. Dropped my bullets. I bend over with Betsy on my back, right with my face above the bear traps, thinking, piggy comes in for the hump. Facey go trap.
Facey go trap? Are you saying all this into the recording?
No, that's something that's just for you.
Okay. I love the recorder because it just destroys any credibility that this was an accident. Record. All right,
it's gonna be five.
All right, you're bent over with Betsy on your back.
I need to do Abby for the memes.
Yeah, of course. Who's Abby?
It's a column you can write into, Dear Abby.
I was like, what's the opposite of penthouse forum? Probably Dear Abby.
I got you. Okay, all right.
A six is not gonna do it. That's a four.
Not gonna do it. No. Okay. So the pig, I'm guessing, is kind of confused. Maybe now is realizing that Betsy was not actually a pig and was a rolled up blanket. Your back is kind of damp now. I'm not going to tell you why. And you're bent over the bear trap, but it didn't take the bait. It wasn't go humpy. It's actually kind of devastated right now because its love is then revealed as a rolled up blanket. Bob?
Okay, I get down from the thresher. I get out my tape recorder and I say, "Dear Abby, I can't believe what's about to happen to me. I'm about to be rich," I think inside my head.
Okay,
"I'm about to kill a pig," I say out loud for the tape recorder.
Okay, good. Yeah, that's good.
I think inside my head, "I'll lay out some bear traps to get this pig." I say out loud for the tape recorder, "I'm going to kill this pig the same way I always have, with bear traps." But then I realize after setting out the bear traps that I left my shotgun on the other side. "I'll jump right through them and die," I think internally. "I'll walk safely around them," I say out loud, and do. I go get my shotgun, then think to myself, "What if I just fire randomly? That's pretty dangerous." I say out loud, "I'll scare the pig, just like normal, by firing both shotgun rounds through these holes in the roof." The pig is not scared. I am defeated. I realize I'm going to need to escalate things. I go and I pick up Betsy, but I also need to reload my shotgun. So I put Betsy over my shoulders, and I think to myself, I'll bend over with my face over the bear traps, and then the pig will come try and fuck Betsy, and then facey go trappy. I say out loud, "Oh no, I've dropped my shotgun shells. I will bend down now and pick them up to reload my shotgun," which I do, and the pig is no longer interested in Betsy. I reload my shotgun. I turn on the pig angrily, and I think to myself, "How the fuck come on, you got this stupid pig to kill me." And I say out loud, "All right, time to kill you, pig." I take Betsy off my shoulders and I toss her into the bear traps and just... Betsy is murdered. It's still a blanket. But I hope that this enrages the pig and that will cause the pig to charge at me and get revenge for sweet Betsy. I thought all of that. I didn't say that out loud. Out loud, I say, "Oh no, I dropped the blanket onto the bear traps." Everybody good?
Man, I'm sweating, man.
Yeah, man, you just need a... I'm assuming that gives you a minus one, so you're down to... You just need a four. Just need a four or lower.
I wish I could give you more than minus one, but man... Oh, man... You got all that, Wade? You're gonna have to remember if it doesn't work.
All right. I got a five.
Oh, shit!
But you needed a four, didn't you?
It was at minus four. It's minus four. He got to one. That gives him one.
We're trying to get one or, I guess, lower, but...
I thought you were odds. Zero, one, two, three. I thought you were at minus three. Is it minus four?
He's minus four.
I feel like I'm one off on every
one
of these.
No, yeah, I've been keeping track.
Okay. All right, I don't remember all that. That's fine with me.
So it worked. There was just enough of that attachment to that soggy blanket that got snapped up by the bear traps that the pig was enraged. Not only does it push you over, sadly the bear traps are already trapped, but knocks over the fire lamp that was up above. You go, oh no, I can't get up for the recorder.
But I think to myself, yes, I've done it. I'll die now.
I also think and say out loud, ow, why does it hurt so bad?
I think and say, oh, fire, it burns. Oh,
this. Okay, well done, guys. That'll do it. Only two rounds, but holy shit.
Bob, the fucking say out loud, think in my head.
Oh my god, that's so funny. Jesus Christ.
Oh, you had to use the tape recorder.
I had to get Dear Abby in there. My joke was too funny to leave out.
Points. Mandy's got one for iron within, iron without. Wade, you got pen threaten, point, Michael Douglas approved, cooking makes him mad, point, you lost a point for listening, so doink, but you got two for laughing at my joke, I give you a double points for that. Unfortunately, you didn't lose. Bob, he doesn't know what a kitchen is. Yes, chef, 2, 3, 4, you got a point for listening, James sprinted off a mountain, you're immortal, you lost to the frog, and you lost to the pig, and you made me laugh so hard I gave you another point.
That's fair.
All right.
That's 8-4. Nearly impossible to come back from that, but it
don't
was.
Don't say that. Don't manifest that.
I said nearly.
Hey, negative points turn to positive points.
It could be. It could flip over. Oh, the name of the game is. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, hold on. Does that mean Bob lost 2 points by winning?
He won 2 points by losing.
I can see what you're getting at, but yeah, I won. Yeah. Anyway, how many spins is it gonna be?
All right.
Two.
It could. Something could happen.
It's not possible. What are you adding, Mark?
He who is immortal shall win this point.
That's just a Bob point, isn't it?
You might become immortal.
I guess so, but you'll always be immortal.
I'll say he who is immortal wins a point. So, like, if either of you also becomes immortal,
that's fair.
It could apply to more than one person. Feels fair to me. Yeah.
Hey, he's the host. He can put whoever he wants on there. We've done us points before.
Two spins. Spin number one.
I guess it was more so just clarifying that neither one of us is currently immortal. It's just Bob.
Hey! Half point for Wade.
Oh, that could get closer. It's closer.
Only 3.5 down, baby.
All right.
One more spin.
Don't call it a comeback.
Most impressions?
Does hello my baby, hello my honey.
Does that count as an impression?
That's an impression of,
it technically is, yeah.
Of the frog that does it.
That's true. I didn't know the lyrics, but I did the voice.
You did it more times than me because you did it the last time to win.
Yeah, because it would have been Bob did it first and then Wade, then Bob, then Wade, then Bob, then Wade, then Bob finished it. So yeah, technically you did that impression more.
Yeah, is that the only impression we did?
That's a plus one for Bob, and that'll wrap it up at a solid, commanding 9 points.
Doubled my score.
Yeah. Wow. Well, almost. Well, actually, no, literally. Yeah, with that half, it is exactly double. Not too far in numerical points, but, you know, that was a very strong finish.
After a first few really good seasons, man, this is not my season. This is you guys.
I mean, well, we got it. You won all the other ones, so we got to catch up sometime, but...
Man, my back was starting to hurt, but good to see you guys succeed.
All right, Wade, you get your loser's speech then.
Listen, I may have lost. I lost outright. I deserve to lose. But I feel like a winner seeing my friends succeed and host and use up all their ideas finally. Because I've been out for ages with all of my winning. I've won so much, I didn't know what to do anymore. So it's nice to kick back, relax, and see the others get to work a little bit.
Thank you. Wait, Bob.
These episodes always turn out fun. I always have a good time. Feels good to win an episode that was also really fun to do. So, I'm just having a great day, you know?
You won the coin flip, too.
I know, I became immortal.
This was really...
There was funny bits. This was a heck of an episode.
This is your greatest day ever, as far as episodes go. I mean, it couldn't go much better than being immortal and winning.
I mean, we're gonna have to see how the immortal thing plays out, but, like, I have a lot of faith in that, yeah.
I mean, it's backed by the guarantee of the listeners, so... And the viewers, probably. So you can take that to the bank, and you guys can take this episode to the bank and show the tellers there when you share Distractible with a random stranger in your life. Be sure to follow the podcast and make everyone around you that you don't know follow it as well. And if they already follow it, make them follow again. You can make multiple accounts. Listen twice. Yes, I told you to do that. Follow these guys wherever they may be. My Scream Lord Minion 7779, Mark, also known as Markiplier. Thank you again for listening and or watching. Podcast out.
Watch new episodes on Spotify.